Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
Katie, I am so glad I played that intro because I've forgotten my name here. We've got Frank Salone with us. It's like I got to remember my name here. And I think, I'm fumbling around here. I've got his pictures in front of me, and it's distracting me. So I'm going to just put those right there and focus. How are you, Katie?
Oh, I'm just as giddy as you are. I just keep asking my quest myself. Geez, girl from Vermont on the phone with Frank Stallone and going, how did this happen? But it's extremely exciting.
Girl from Iowa. It's like, okay, how's this happen? So, we'll go there. But let me, I don't want to waste time because there's so many people listening, and I want to give them a huge best ever you welcome. But before I do that, I just want to talk about yesterday's show with the president and CEO of Hay House at hayhouse.com. We had Reed Tracy with us, Katie, and there were thousands and thousands of downloads that have continued into today. And really neat, at the end of that show yesterday, he gave away a book. And so if you contact Reed Tracy on Facebook, you can get a free book. And wasn't that interesting talking to him?
It was. And, much of what we talked about yesterday is something I see in Frank Stallone's story as well, is change. Somebody who has the courage to change and do what he needs to do to keep his life moving forward. Yeah. So I think it's a great example of someone like what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, I know everybody probably knows him, but I'm going to depart from my normal thing, and I'm going to read something. Frank is one of the most versatile actors, singers, and musicians working today. He's garnered 3 platinum albums, 10 gold albums, 5 gold singles, and has acted in over 60 films and TV shows. How's that sound, Katie, so far?
Yeah.
He's so cool.
A little multi-talented.
Yeah, we got to go. He's a real person here while I'm reading this. He does have the most amazing voice and range. He does everything from, country to blues to big band. You were comparing him to Frank Sinatra earlier. And he's been nominated for Grammy and Golden Globes. And he's written and published over 200 songs. And he's got this newest single out in this movie, Don't Want to Fight With Me, from The Expendables 2. And so we just want to welcome him. And he's, I'm going to say, the Simba Records recording artist, Frank Stallone. So, yay! I don't have a big applause button or anything. I'm sorry. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's so wonderful that you're with us today on the Best Ever You Show. And, I think... I can't remember my name right now. So, it's wonderful that you're here. And, I think we want to just start off by letting people know about your new website, if you don't mind. FrankStallone.com. And you can go to FrankStallone.com, and all of your music is there and all of your pictures are there. How hard has that been to put together, that new website?
Well, it's been really, really hard because I'm technically not a whiz, but my manager, Randy Siegel, and a team of other people spent a tremendous amount of time putting it together. So it's pretty encompassing. I mean, if you want to know about me, you just go there. And it's really, really good. I mean, we have concert dates, anything that's new coming up. And I also have a Facebook fan page. It's called Frank Stallone Official, which also people can go to, and if they want, like. And, I got the website and the Facebook page, which I think you and I became acquainted on, right?
Yeah, that's how I met you. And yeah. I want to stress that, because a lot of times, you're on Facebook and you're like, is this person really real or not? It's really you. And it's wonderful that, it's you're just that in touch with people, because it just makes people love you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been really nice. And the thing is, I think Facebook, if used properly, it's a great tool. I mean, there are people, you know, that kind of do some nasty stuff on it and write bad things and stuff like that. But it's pretty cool, you know, on a whole.
Twitter.
I met you, right?
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. The amazing things that all these, you know, it's funny. I don't know if I should share this or not, but a long, long time ago when I was a kid, because I'm 43 now, there was this movie, and it was the movie that you wrote the song for, Far From Over. And I knew, it's very interesting how it's that I'm talking to you right now, because I knew as a kid, I'm like, I love that song. And I'm an old gymnast, and I used to do gymnastic routines to that song. I used to run to it. I used to do everything. And I'm like, one day I'm going to know him. And it's so bizarre. So, hello.
It's kind of funny. I mean, what's really funny when you have a girl come up to you that says, God, I really love your song, Far From Where. I'm going, well, thank you, dear. And then she goes, yeah, my parents really loved it. I'm there, yeah. trying to put Frankie on the shelf here, you know what I mean?
No, it's actually me.
I feel exactly the same. I don't know. It's just time marches on, but I feel the same. I'm still probably, when I go to the gym, I do the same, well, not the same exercise, but I still keep up with everything. And it's kind of when you get those little wake-up calls, it's funny. It's like, you know, because you figure a girl like 34, 35, you know, that's a grown woman, but then I think about staying alive is almost 30-some years old. So they were like 4. So they obviously couldn't be in the staying alive, but their parents could. So it's kind of, uh-oh.
Yeah, right in the middle there somewhere. I don't know if I was 4, but anyway.
It's a tough job. Someone's got to do it. But
you know,
anyway.
Let's go there for a second. And, Katie, I'll be quiet here because I know I'll calm down, I'm sure, here in about an hour. Anyway. You know, you speaking of health, you're 62, and you're so beautifully in shape, and it's such an inspiration. I swear, I joined a gym yesterday. I did. I saw you talking. You were talking to your sweatshirt. It was so funny. I'm like, you know, I better go join a gym. And so,
and you can talk to your own sweatshirt as well.
That's what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to
put
on the front of
my sweatshirt.
But I'm going to talk to my sweatshirt on the treadmill. But how
what
do you...
What she's talking about, folks, out there, is I had a sweatshirt on that has my brother's face from Rocky II on it. It's a big face of Sly. And I was on the elliptical machine. I was so bored. I figured, well, why don't I just carry on a conversation with myself? So I would talk into the camera, and then I put the camera down on his face, and I'd imitate him. So I go, hey, Sly, what's going on today? Well, everything's pretty good. Well,
funny, Katie.
So it just went on, and people were looking at me like, I think Frank's really gone over the top. He's insane. It is finally happening. Yeah, so it was one of those things.
No, you just have the best sense of humor, and I'm sure with that kind of humor, I think almost everything is funny. There's humor everywhere. And don't you think that just keeps you young?
Well, yes. I think there are some people that, they're just by nature. They're just serious. They were old when they were young. I mean, everything. And I think the old thing is like the song, be young at heart. You know, fairy tales will come true. It could happen to you if you're young at heart. I mean, the thing is, yes, we do have more responsibilities than we did when we were 18 living with our parents. And that's probably why a lot of Italian guys never leave their parents until they get married, because it's, you know, why not? Stay home, get your socks ironed, you know, 3 meals a day. And you'll make the girl totally miserable because you'll be compared to the mother all the time. Well, you're married to an Italian, aren't you?
I am. Yep, I've been married for 14 years, yeah.
Can you cook Italian food?
I can. I can cook anything.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's awesome. See?
But I cook healthy. I'm not a big fan of weight gain.
No. And the thing is, that is the thing, seriously, which I try to tell people out there. I said, do you realize if you lose the weight, it will change your life. It will change your life because all of a sudden, seriously, with me, and I've never been, I mean, years ago when I smoked, when I quit smoking, I got kind of heavy, not fat heavy, but, you know, heavy for me. And it was just a totally different vibe. I felt like I was a Martian. I really did. I felt like I was so foreign to me. But then when I went in the gym and I really got busy doing what I do and I lost all this weight, that's all I would get is comments. Wow, man, you look great. You look younger. What did you do? Do you have a facelift? They go, no, I lost weight. You know. So, I mean, but it, first of all, it's healthy for you. And it just really changes your life because, you know, I think God made us to be a certain size to go with our machinery, everything, you know. So mm-hmm. I think it's real important to do that stuff and try to be as healthy as you can because I don't think it's fun being sick, do you?
No, and more no. All right, Katie, I'm going to be quiet. Go.
Oh, God, I don't even know where to start. I've
is
just been laughing, listening
Idaho?
To two of you.
Huh?
Where are you coming from, Katie?
I'm coming
Idaho?
From the state of Washington.
Oh, you're in Washington State. And where's Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'm on this in the San Juan Islands in Anacortes.
Oh, that sounds
and
beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous. It's. I actually moved from Maine a year ago and have created a new life out here and left mm-hmm. the 8-foot snowbanks behind. And one of the things that I love about your humor is my in-laws are from Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
And so I can see some of your humor in my husband's family, in my husband and my husband's family. And
wow.
I absolutely roared at some of your videos. And I encourage people
to... Well, you have to have a
Pardon?
Sense of humor to live in Philadelphia. You have to have a sense of humor to live in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think you really do. And I've learned so much from watching he and his family. And what I wanted to ask you is about where did that come from? Because you clearly have it. Where did you start learning that sense of humor?
Well, yeah, I really honestly think I was born with it. I mean, the thing was, you know, I talked about it before that music chose me. I did not choose music. I swear to God, it was a divine intervention. It really chose me because when I was so young, I didn't know enough to all of a sudden start singing and playing guitar and wanting to be Elvis Presley and this and that. And like, chose me. And I came from in those days, I came from a broken home. So I guess I learned to entertain myself because it was a lot different in those days. You know, it wasn't like, you know, mm-hmm. when parents got divorced that people came around to talk to the kids. No one really talked to kids in those days. So I think what happened, same with my brother, you had to develop your own little fantasy world and develop your own sense of humor because, you know, you were kind of out on your own. So when I would go to school, I was a pretty lousy student. I wasn't a dumb kid, but I wasn't a good student. I was, in other words, because I wasn't interested in like math. Because the only thing I needed to know about math was adding and subtracting, because as a musician, you know, you don't really need calculus or algebra, you know what I mean? When you're getting paid by a club owner, you don't go, hey, man, listen, you owe me 3 pi squared and it's not the least triangle. No, I don't need that stuff.
Right.
I didn't like parts of speech,
really
dangling participle. Yeah, I didn't like any of that stuff. So I made my life as a musician, so... Like, none of the good-looking girls liked because I was kind of, you know, rock musician, kind of skinny guy. But all the other girls that were kind of, like, no one ever talked to liked me. So I became a fan of the unforgotten, you know. So, and those are the people that sometimes I hear from, you know, all these many years later said, I remember one thing, you're always funny and you're always nice to me in school because, you know, I was heavy and guys never talked to me. And people could be kind of cruel. So I kind of felt like an outcast, too. So, like most comedians, you know, comedy and tragedy are very closely linked. So that's how I think I developed a sense of humor, you know, just to kind of be able to hang out with the people. So I could sing and I was funny. So that was pretty good for some people. But the really good looking girls didn't think I was could sing or was funny until now.
Yeah, boy, has that changed, huh?
Yeah,
probably like little ducklings lined up
now.
Outside your door.
Yeah, well. Yeah, but it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, the way things go. I have a new song out called Don't Want to Fight With Me from Expendables 2, as you spoke. And, you know, I'm really at this age, 30 years later, going for a Grammy nomination for Best Original Song. And I just think, you know, whether you win or whether you don't, I mean, there's a lot of talent out there. It would just be nice 30 years later to have a song just nominated, because it's an honor to be nominated, and you know, so that's what I'm kind of working on now. And you know, I'm wanting to do more film and TV roles, and I have to do some TV stuff to show my sense of humor, because most of the time I get cast as like an Italian gangster, or, you know, I'm always killing someone, you know, so it's like, you know, that would be kind of fun to have someone go, hey, guy has a sense of humor, you know.
Oh,
you
do.
Yeah, I was watching one of the reels, and it was all just kind of poking fun at, you know, everything. I think there was one point where, I don't know what show this was, but you were in a boxing ring, and they threw a chicken in there with you and everything. I mean, so there's definitely a good...
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, the guy was trying to be...
Whatever.
I think I was rock. Yeah, that was really funny. Well, that's the guy right now, Mike, who's on Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
The guy that was playing Mickey. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was playing Burgess Meredith. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Hysterical.
That was a good one.
Yeah. And so at what point when you were a kid did you go, hey, I can sing. Hey, I can play the guitar. I mean, did
like
you take lessons? Really?
I was like 5 years old, and I just heard it. You know, I was listening to the Everly Brothers later, and Elvis, and Frank Sinatra, and Nat King Cole. You know, because in those days, the actually car radio was your iPhone of the day. You know, I mean, because people, you know, were in their cars a lot, and so you know, we had the old tube radios. So you had like only had AM stations then. So it's like TV. You only had three channels. So you made do with what you had, and so I just would sing, and my dad wanted to get on the action, started a little record company. I'm sure it was like one person, him, called DC Records, and they had this guy, he's kind of a hick, because the Elvis thing was in, so this guy's name was Dudley Calicut from, like, Tennessee, and my father go, I think this guy's going to be the next big thing, and he used to come home and bring the 45 they just pressed. I think the only records they sold or ones that they gave to our relatives, you know, so, but that kind of died real quick, you know. So, but I kept going, and, you know, I would sit there in front of the TV in those days. I remember seeing Elvis Presley the first time on TV, and we were at my Aunt Nancy's house, she just passed away at 99, on Missouri Avenue in Washington, D.C. You know, my parents were all, like, Italian immigrants, so they all had the heavy accents. So when they see this guy come on the tube, Elvis Presley, they were, like, aghast. They did, and all us kids were going, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Look at him, his hair flopping, the big sideburns, and he was the ultimate of cool. So,
yeah.
And, you know, you're dealing with people that are going, oh, no, my goodness, so what is this guy? Well, I said, I want to be that, Dad. You're never going to be that, boy. And I said, no, I want to be that. That's what I want to be. So from that point on, I swear to you, I never wanted to be a fireman. I never wanted to be a cop. My father was a hairdresser. I didn't want to be a hairdresser. I didn't want to be anything but play guitar and be Elvis Presley. And then when the Beatles came out, that just put the capper on it. And my parents lost all hope at that point. Yeah, they just threw up their hands and quit. That was it.
What was the point where, I'm guessing, did you have to make a move in order to do all of these things and, you know, and leave home, or were you right there kind of in New York, or how did you get to L.A. from the East Coast, or when someone was out there?
Well, you know, after high school, you know, I lived in Philadelphia most of the time until high school, and then I kind of traveled about, you know, went to Florida, Coconut Grove, because that was a cool scene for the folk thing. I moved to New York, and my brother and I kind of lived together, and I played on the street corner at nights to make money, because I realized now, I mean, it's a crazy thing. I mean, I really had no education to speak of other than barely a high school diploma. And I said, man, if this doesn't work, I'm in big trouble. So, because I just had the idealistic attitude, but I really believed in myself as a singer. I mean, my songwriting had to develop. You know, I was still young. You know, I was a teenager. And when I listen to songs now, I know why I didn't get signed, because they're okay. But, you know, they're not like earth-shattering. But I was always a late bloomer, you know, and everything. So so I moved to New York, and then I moved to New Jersey, and then I had the group Valentine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I kind of exhausted everything on the East Coast after Rocky came out. I kind of wasn't doing anything, you know. And so then my brother said, why don't you just move to California? What are you doing there? I mean, I'm out here, you know. And I said, okay. And I just drove to California with my manager.
That's about what I did when I moved to California. It's great out there, isn't it? I'm from there.
You are? What part?
I moved here from Tahoe in San Francisco.
Wow.
I had a house in Tahoe and a house in San Francisco, and I moved here in 2004. But I used to spend, I kind of had a different career at one point for about 12 years, and so I used to spend a lot of time in New York and Los Angeles training people and so forth in the 90s. But, yeah, I love California. Absolutely love it. I miss it all the time.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, a few earthquakes here or there, you know, little, the sincerity level's a little out there.
Well,
but that's
sure,
okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, I'm kind of revising my career a little bit, you know, like I have new management and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, after doing 60 movies, you know, if you don't have the right people behind you, I mean, heads are rolling constantly, all the time. You know, agencies and things like that. One guy that was there for a while, they're gone. You know, everyone's losing their job. So you have to keep yourself real current. So we're working on that, you know, like some TV, getting out, meeting casting people again. Because I remember at one point I did like 11 movies in 1 year. I was doing really well. And so, and I'm back doing what I love to do more than anything is play music. I have a great band, and we're out there trying to procure gigs, and we're doing okay. But, you know, me, I like to get out on the road. I don't have any family, so nothing's really holding me here. So I'm pretty happy when I'm on the road. I mean, playing in different places and meeting different people. And it's I'm really alive. I mean, that's the, I'm kind of in a... Like, you know, in the Catholic Church, you know, you're kind of, I'm in purgatory a little bit, you know, I mean, I'm in the middle.
Oh, great, you know? Catholic, I get it.
I'm kind of hanging, like, kind of in an isolation float when I'm not working because I really don't know what to do. I mean, I have my hobbies and I have things like that, but, you know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I need to have something to look forward to, and then I become like a work machine, but it's not, I just kind of loaf around, hang around with the guys, you know, read books, and I kind of have to keep myself calm because I'm pretty high strung. So when I hear people that have TV series complaining, I go,
oh, you poor baby,
God, so sad you're making $300,000 a week.
So sorry for you, Well, you can tell that comes from brilliance. I mean, you can tell how wonderfully smart you are. And in my head, I've said this to you before, I think you're one of the most elegant, most graceful, most well-spoken people that I've ever come across in my entire life. And the thing of it is, though, I can't tell whether you're there's a cowboy part of you, too, that is just absolutely precious. And there's Katie, you call the crooner part of you, too, you know, the...
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie said
the crooner
earlier. Is there a place where your heart really is there, or is it in all the areas?
It is in all the
horses.
Areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the horses. Yeah, my head's anything you see me doing, like with if it's archery or if it's fishing or it's like either doing the big band or the folk music or any of that stuff, my heart's in it because I wouldn't do it if I wasn't because I really do love the crooner big band thing, and I also really love writing songs and going out just being a solo act with my acoustic guitar. And I get asked a lot to go, how do you do that? I said, son, I've been doing it for so long. I mean, I did it out of necessity. I mean, that's how I earned my food. I would stand on street corners in New York City at 20 years old, basically freezing to death with that guitar. And I still have that guitar. That guitar is on that album called Heart and Souls. I mean, that album is that guitar is the one my mother bought me. And I drug that thing all over the country. And I sat and at the point, sometimes my fingers could hardly move. The strings were frozen. And I was just like this, I was like kind of a waif. But I knew I could do it because I could always gather a crowd around me. I was a guy with long, curly hair, skinny, you know, wearing, I think I borrowed my brother's coat because I didn't really have a good winter coat. So I would take his coat and he would have to stay at home. You know what I mean? So whatever. And it was really cold out. And I remember one day I was out singing. I said, oh, my God, I must have had easily $6 in my guitar case. So I was doing pretty good, you know, at that point. On a good night, if I made $10, $15, I mean, I thought I was the richest guy in the world. And I remember I was sitting there singing on the street corner, and all these people, I think I was singing Dave Mason's Only You Know and I Know or something, and everyone's gathering around this big Irish cop, you know, it's the middle of winter, you know, the hat, coat, and he's sitting there with this big smile on his face, like really digging it, you know, the big guy, you know. And at the end, he had this Irish brogy, comes up to him, he goes, oh, boy, you got a beautiful voice, I must tell you, but I got to be giving you a ticket for disturbing the peace. So I got like a $6 ticket. And I said, oh, my God, that's a night worth of work. So, I mean, and you know what? I had that ticket for so many years. I wish I still had it. New York City, Manhattan, for disturbing.
Right.
Yeah, or my brother would come by and take my money because he had a date. and he'd walk by. He goes, "Hey, how you doing?" And he'd stick his hand in my guitar case and take out like $4 or $5, and he'd be with the girl. I go, "Where are you going with my money?" He goes, "Hey, we're going down to the Fillmore to see Poco." I said, "Jesus." Yeah. So there was a lot of crazy stuff. A lot of crazy stuff.
Oh yeah, but I get the whole brother thing.
Humor, you can't survive. And I've done. You know what? The thing I would love to do more than anything, I love to be a mentor. I like to be on a TV show, really talking to people. You know, like you look at the Jersey Shore. I mean, it's okay. It's a bunch of goofy guys doing things what they do down the shore. But these guys have become rich. But there's really no information. You know, I mean, they're not really giving you any information. They're really kind of telling you not what to do by looking at them, you know. Yeah. But they all make a lot of money. So I would love to do things like that, mentor. Like, I know on American Idol or The Voice, I would kill on that show because it's just so many years, and I've been down so many times. I mean, you think Rocky was down. I mean, I've been down like a pinata. And when you have to believe in yourself to get up, you have to. I mean, and it's like, you know, like when God blessed, when my nephew passed on July 13th, my little Sage, and I was going to play the next week, and they said, how do you do it? I said, because that's what I do. That's who I am. That's what I do. Because he would want me to do that. But I didn't do it. And I went on like a week later, and, you know, sometimes, you know, your heart's breaking. You know, my sister died like a month after him. So, but through that, you know, I remember Frank Sinatra's mother crashed an airplane. He played that night at Caesar. He said, because the people paid to see me, and this is what I do. No matter if you're being ripped apart inside or whatever, but that's what you do. So I think to hang around for as long as I have or anyone else, you have to have some form of character, some honor, and, you know, and the willingness to look in the mirror. And I've done it. When I had nothing, when I was picking up nickels and quarters, like under the couch in my house, to look at it and say, do I have what it takes? And I'd say, yeah, I do. Yeah, and I would just, and something would always, like a guardian angel, something would always happen good. You know, so it was very interesting. I mean, that kind of life. I know it's getting off the subject, but
it reminds me of my life, really. I mean, I've been there. I've picked up pennies and quarters, and I've changed in pennies for whatever. You know, I've done that before a lot.
Yeah.
but
I remember bringing in the sparkless water thing to the supermarket and pulling all the coins in that coin machine. And people knew who I was. That's what made it really weird. Hey, aren't you a singer? I go, hey, what's going on? Nah, just emptying my kid's piggy bank. You know, that Cooper's the money.
Who they did dead. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But, you know, also, you know, I grew up in the middle of 11 kids.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I have 10 brothers and sisters, and I have, you know, there's a lot of kids. I have 7 sisters and 3 brothers. And, you know, so we were pretty penny pinching, and our parents went bankrupt when I was about 18. And so I'm one of the few kids that did go to college and things like that. And so, I mean, I completely get it. But I've lived in what do they call those? Like KDO storage sheds. Those.
Those temporary shelters.
Yeah.
You mean like a pod?
Not like, you know, the stuff you would store your stuff in and pay like money per month. I didn't like go into one of those, but it was converted into an apartment building, but it was the crappiest thing you'd ever live in your life. Yeah.
You're talking about a box for a refrigerator living in one of those. That happened to me once. I was coming out of a restaurant with a date, and it was like a few days before Christmas. And this was years ago, and I just made a lot of money. And I was walking out, and it was just ironic. This guy he lived in a box. It was like a for a refrigerator, a big box, you know, that he probably dismantles every night. And I was walking by with this really hot looking girl, and he went, "Hey, Merry Christmas, brother!" Like, but really happy. And I looked at him, and he had these beautiful. And I gave him like a lot of money, like maybe $30-$40, but for a guy living in a box, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm with the girl, and she kind of gave me this kind of attitude. Oh, what are you doing that for? And I go, wow. And I said, first of all, this date's over. Because I said, the only reason you're really eating in this restaurant is because of me. This is not where you would normally eat. But this guy is living in a box before Christmas. And you don't know. He might have had a great family growing up. You don't know what happened. He could have lost his whole family. Something horrible happened. But he has a more positive attitude than you, and he's in a cardboard box on Christmas.
Yeah.
So I kind of, that turned me so off, because I found there was no compassion, there was nothing in there, so there was no reason for me to even, you know, pursue
good,
that.
Good for you. I'm glad, your integrity is intact.
I kind of regret it when I went home, but that's another story.
Oh, well.
I'm like, well, you live and learn, right? You live and learn.
You know, one of the things that I would love to do in my lifetime with you, if you ever can, and you don't have to promise or anything like that, but I would love to go fishing with you sometime. I think
okay.
that would just be the best time, and I can bait my own hook.
Okay, you're cleaning though, right?
I'll clean. Oh, I got to clean the fish. I do know how to. Yes, I can do it. It's disgusting,
all right.
But I will.
You scale the fish, I'll catch them. No, it'll be fun.
Okay.
It's a fun thing to do. It's like, you know what? I was talking to a gal yesterday on the treadmill in the gym. Younger girl, just chatting up. And I said, yeah, I love to do archery. She says, oh, my God. I was just reading a book that archery is one of the greatest things for keeping you calm and centered, because it's really yourself and you have to be kind of zen locked into it. And I said, wow. I said, I better get my bow when I go home, you know, because I've been a little stressed out, so that might help me. But it's really interesting. It's like, you know, I think that's why a lot of guys go out and maybe play golf or do these things like that. But archery is so much fun because you're really just playing against yourself. Right? And so it's like, yeah, anything with strings. And, you know, I got guitars all through my house because it really is kind of like my baby pacifier for me. You know, it's really, I think about it all the time that I was so blessed to have the gift of music in my life, because I don't know actually where I would have ended up, you know what I mean? I don't think, I wasn't a bad kid, so I wouldn't have been like a criminal, but I could have gone down like some kind of path, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And
Katie, what would you be doing if you weren't a doctor? What would you be doing?
I would be a singer.
You would be a singer.
Yeah, I started out becoming a singer. I mean, I'm a singer, but I don't sing for a living, because I didn't have the courage. So one of the things that really strikes me listening to you, Frank, is that you had to have courage all along the way to keep going. But I totally understand and relate to when you're talking about music being just finding you. And I always said, you know, the worst thing that could ever happen to me would be for my voice to be taken away, because it's my greatest form of expression. And I think that's really
What did you say?
That's what
I was just going to say. I think from listening to you, that's just a huge form of how you talk, how you express yourself is through music.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd really want to even be on the earth if I couldn't sing or talk anymore, because, I mean, it's really the encumbrance of who I am, you know? I mean, that everything I have in my life, every wonderful person I've ever met has been through communication with my voice, my singing. And I for the people out there that smoke, my sister, just 52 of lung cancer. She smoked like 3 to 4 packs of cigarettes a day. My nephew Sage died of a heart attack at 36, and he smoked over 4 packs of cigarettes a day and was overweight. And it's a horrible, horrible death. Trust me, it's a horrible death. And I remember at one point I said, you know what, I got to quit smoking. Even though I smoked like organic cigarettes, I said I have to quit smoking. At this point in my life, because I had quit for 19 years, and, you know, and so I went back. So I went, I'll tell you what happened. I went to a throat doctor for examination. He looked down my throat. You could see the camera in front, inside my throat, which I'd never looked at. I didn't realize how small your vocal cords are. You know, I said, oh, my God, everything I have in my life is from that. And he said, well, what's that white stuff? I'm a little concerned about that. I swear to you, in 30 seconds, I was soaking wet. With sweat. I went, What do you mean? He goes, I don't know about that. He said, well, take these pills and come back in like a month. I was absolutely a wreck. And I said to God, I said, if you keep me well, I swear to you, I'll never put another cigarette in my mouth again. And I never did. And I said,
I've never smoked. I don't know. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. And I hardly, if I'm going to drink, it absolutely has to be like red wine, like Merlot kind of stuff.
I wish I could say I didn't drink red wine, but I quite...
No, I mean, I'll drink red wine, but I don't... whatever. But I don't know that I've ever smoked, ever, because the smell is... I don't like that smell.
Well, you know, it's so out of style now. I mean, this girl came up to me and was talking to me, and she reeked of this horrible. I was just like, it's just a bad habit. And you know what, folks? Just be good to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, God gave you all these wonderful attributes, all these things to live a happy life. Just be good to yourself, you know? And you know what? I don't care if people say, well, I'm addicted, I can't quit, this is my only vice. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's your only vice. You know, it's still a bad vice.
Still a vice, yeah.
Take care of yourself. God gave you a gift. Take care of yourself. Because I got to tell you, the alternative is not good, you know? It's
no.
It's not good at all.
It's not.
And
it's
so
good,
I
good
really
to
do
aid.
Take care of myself. Yeah.
What did you say?
I said I really do take good care of myself, and I try. I'm not an angel. Like, you know, I mean, why steal? I mean, I have to watch myself around Italian food because I can really devour
it.
So
that's a treadmill workout. It's like the Italian food treadmill elliptical workout after you eat.
Well, the treadmill should be a pizza, actually. You know what I mean? But it's like, sometimes you got.
Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm the meatball moocher. I mean, I make them and they're gone.
I just made a whole batch. I tell you what happened. I made a whole batch of meatballs. Because some people come over, some of my friends are in town, so I was going to make some big pasta thing, and no one showed up, so I'm stuck with all these meatballs. So now I'm eating them. I'm taking them out of the refrigerator and, like, eating them. So, like, I'm living on meatballs for this week, you know?
Good, though, aren't they? I mean, all I could eat. I could live on meatballs. I have no idea why.
I think I should brand myself. How do you look that good, Frank? All I eat is meatballs. That's it.
I eat meatballs, right?
I eat meatballs.
No cheese, meatballs. That would be it. That's Frank Stallone's meatball diet.
There you go. See, it's easy. Yeah, you know.
You go fish? I go fishing for meatballs. That's all I eat. Yeah. I'll invent a meatball fish, something or whatever. Find some hidden species in the Italian Ocean. That looks like a rigatoni or something. Pull it up.
Okay, that's gross. We can't have that. All right, let's talk. Archery. You talked about archery. Hunting too. My brothers and dad. My dad's been really ill for 8 years now. But he had a stroke. Yeah, but he's alive and doing better. We call him the ICU warrior. But he loves to hunt, and my best memories of him are of him dressed in orange or camo, like in a tree with a bow and arrow, like hunting. I mean, with the beard. He'd pull the beard out and everything, and my brothers and my uncles and everybody would go all the way up to northern Minnesota on Lake Vermilion and hunt.
Well, with 11 kids, you better get out there and hunt, because they didn't have Costco back then, did they?
Oh, no, they didn't.
So your family was your own Costco. Like, you know, let's get a few deer and elk. Throw them in the freezer.
Yeah, they funniest things. But do you hunt?
You know, I have. I used to hunt a lot. I got to tell you, more now, the only thing I would hunt out here are wild boars, you know, because those are fun. And, you know, if you like pork chops, they're pretty good. But the deer thing I hunted, not much. I like the fish. I like the fish a lot.
I like the fish better than,
Because I throw 99% of them back in anyway, so.
Yeah, my grandma.
And I'm a weird fisherman. I think rainbow trout are so beautiful.
Aren't they? You have to come back in. No, I can't either. Honey.
They're too pretty.
Yeah. That's cool. You know, my grandma, we used to go out in, I don't know how many boats it was. There were enough of them on Lake Vermilion, and we'd have a Hamilton family fishing contest. And my grandma, who's like, bless her whole soul, like 94 right now, she'd always win. Always. My grandma would come back.
It's a family affair, isn't it?
What?
I was out hunting in Wisconsin, Hayward, Wisconsin.
Oh, I love Hayward, Wisconsin, yeah.
You saw Granny out there with her Winchester 94, her kid. Oh, yeah. Don't mess with Granny. She looked like Granny in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Uh-huh.
She did.
Yeah, I know. I have one.
She got a Model 94 Winchester lever action, and they said, Frank, I mean, don't mess with her. She'll nail it. She can shoot. She's been hunting for 85 years, so she knew everything. She got more stuff than anybody.
Oh, she was so serious. Yeah, I mean, she would, like, knock you over or throw you out of the boat to win. I mean, she was serious.
Well, you have someone like her from her era, though.
Yeah.
I remember guys telling me they would go out. Their parents would give them two bullets to hunt in the Depression. You better bring something back. So they were pretty serious about it because that was their substance, how they lived, you know.
Yeah. So,
but,
Katie.
Yeah. And my dad used to go out hunting and fall asleep under a tree. That was the extent of hunting in my house.
That's like me on a golf course. See, I don't like, I'm just a terrible golfer. I mean, the worst golfer in the entire world is me. And, like, I'll just end up in the sand trap or, like, when I was a kid.
Oh, I'm the worst. I have no patience. You know what?
I just don't get it.
Yeah, I like to look cool doing something. I look like such a jerk on the golf course. So I just end up getting loaded in the golf cart and I fall asleep. That's it.
The last golf, when I was a, I don't know, I've done crazy stuff on golf carts, like put the golf cart in the pond, and that was me. I fess up now. But, I mean,
so
it's terrible.
A lot of tournaments, right? Yeah.
What'd you say?
So you get asked to a lot of tournaments, I bet.
No. But, yeah, I always ended up in the sand trap thing, just getting a tan or doing something stupid. I don't know. Just, like, I am such a bad golfer. But, anyway, not relevant. But, I don't know how golf even came up.
You all have your thing. I mean, you know, it's really funny. I get these friends of mine always want to travel. Mm-hmm. They go to Europe. And I really don't have that much interest. I kind of like looking at the United States, I think it's such a beautiful when you see the Rockies and the Yosemite. Mm. I mean, it's so beautiful, Yellowstone Park, and it's really kind of, you know, I think we take it for granted. We have some beautiful things to look at in this country, and I don't have a language barrier, which is kind of nice.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm at home in the mountains. I think that's what I miss more than anything. Maine has mountains, but not like mountains like I'm used to, and I miss mountains and being outside and horse, you know, I used to always go horseback riding in Tahoe, and I just miss all of that, and it's just not here. But I agree, the United States is beautiful. What's your favorite part of
well,
the,
you know, I love the West. You know, when I did the movie Tombstone, we were in Tucson, but it's too hot. I'm not a desert guy. I mean, when you open the door in the morning, you said, there's no way we're going to film today. It's 112 degrees. I'm wearing itchy corduroy pants. I got a handlebar mustache. And it's going to be deadly.
You look good, by the way.
Oh, thank you. But we did it. But the thing is, I think Colorado is beautiful. I think some parts of Minnesota are beautiful, like Eden Prairie. I mean, I go to Minnesota. That's a pretty, pretty state. Like Oregon, Washington State is really pretty. I like greenery. You know, I'm not a desert. Mm. I'm not like, you know, Palm Springs. That's not my bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My whole family lives in Minnesota. It's interesting. My parents and my family, everybody lives in Lakeville.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it's pretty. I mean, it's really nice up there. And I think the one thing is, like, last night I was out with my bunch of guy friends from Australia, and we just sat around, and I sat myself. I said, I am so blessed to have great friends. I really am. I'm so, and it goes beyond the boundary of finances and money. I mean, we just sat there and we just like each other and we were laughing and just, and I said, what is, and then you see these other people have all the money in the world. They have no friends, nothing, because they just spent their lives garnering money. And on top of it, they're cheap, which is really weird, which I don't get. And you know, like they got all more money than they'll ever, ever spend or their grandkids or what, impossible to spend. And they're like penny pinchers, and they're like weird and stuff. And they go, well, that's just the way he's brought up. I said, yeah, but come on, you got $500 million. Let's face it, okay? You know, and then you see like
my shoes, Katie. What would you do with $500 million, Katie? Can you imagine the shoes?
The
shoes.
What would I do?
No.
I would do nothing.
What would you do
for
real?
Sit around, drink wine, and do nothing. And like, you know, give money to people that deserve it, if I had. Yeah. I think what I would do, I'll tell you what I would do. This is what I'd do. I would coerce an agency, the biggest agency. I said, I want you to handle me. I want you to book me everywhere. I'm going to buy a beautiful touring bus. I'm going to have a crew. I'm going to have the best band, and you better book me because I'm going to give you a few million dollars, but you better book me. And then I would be living my dream. then I would get my message out. Then I would play my music. Then I could do great things, you know, things I'd love to do. And then, you know what, and there's sometimes, you know, you get these people, unbeknownst, that you do these things of kindness, you know. I got to tell you something, you know, I've done okay in my life, but what really bothers me, and it still bothers me, is that when I see a woman or an old lady, like, lying down on a sidewalk under blankets, like homeless, really irks me. It really bothers me when I see that. Guys are a little different because they, you know, take care of themselves a little more. But when I see like an elderly lady, it really bothers me because that shouldn't happen in this country.
Yeah.
It's we have too many resources. So instead of giving money to the countries that would like to blow us up every day, it'd be nice to put all that money into research and maybe, you know, put a facility to give people their life back.
Yeah.
You know?
I always talk to Katie about that too, because I'm super sensitive to all that too. I wish I had enough. I personally wish I had enough money in the world to like just give it to people like that too, so that just nobody. And I'm kind of with you, like women and children and
well,
just kind of everybody. I'm just too. It's awful. Yeah, I always like
to
put things into perspective too, because you know a lot of people spend a lot of their time, and they might be rich or they might be very healthy or you know, they might be the most beautiful model in the world or whatever they're going to be, but they're just like empty with no compassion for other people. And so I'm way sensitive to all of that. I always talk to Katie about that. I'm like, am I okay? Because I'm so sensitive
people. You're more than okay, because
right.
Listen,
yeah.
Only time I get cranky and out of sorts is when I'm not doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm not working, when I'm not doing, I don't have any other outlets. I didn't go to Harvard. I can't get a job. You know, I'm 62 years old. I probably qualified to be flipping in McDonald's, but I wouldn't, food's too bad. But I wouldn't even get a job at McDonald's because I can't speak Spanish. So there you go. So I'd say, you know what, I think I'll go on a horse farm and work with horses. I mean, realistically, I mean.
Doesn't that
so
sound fun?
It is, but I'm qualified.
That sounds cool to have like a, I think it'd be neat to have just like a ranch with horses and in the mountains. I just think that'd be just peaceful. That's my idea.
Well, that would be nice, but I'm talking about if I couldn't sing, I would be mucking stalls on someone else's ranch.
No,
nice
no,
to
no.
My own.
Oh, yeah, well,
so I'd be saying,
I get what you mean.
You get that manure spreader out there, kid? I said, hey, I used to be famous.
You couldn't
but,
sing.
But, you know, that's okay. Yeah. I'm a famous manure spreader. But listen.
Will you sing to us at all? Can you do that?
What do you want me to sing?
Anything. You could do Carry On, or you could do anything
okay.
You want to sing.
Okay, I'll sing you, Bobby, I'll sing you a few things. Okay, a few words.
Okay.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing.
Ah,
that's not great. I'm singing into an iPhone.
That's okay.
In front of a
we love you.
Yes,
love
the
you.
Romantic factor is
oh,
not there.
Serenaded by Frank Stallone.
Oh,
that is just really
going to
go down
it?
In history.
Gonna
yeah, it really is.
It's going to be big in upstate Washington, I can tell.
Yeah.
But, I love you.
I'm in Maine, right? I'm all the way in Maine over here, so it's in Maine. Yeah, I'm in Maine.
Oh, yeah. But I think what would be good, I want people to go to my website and email me. You know, email me and talk. I talk to, you know, Elizabeth, that's how we met. I return. I talk.
Yeah.
I'm the real guy. People always say, why, I guess it's some mystery guy writing. No, it's me writing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's absolutely you. If you go to his Facebook, it's absolutely you. And what I love about you most, aside from all these wonderful things that you do and all these, you know, you take a genuine interest in other people. I really love that about you. I think that might be my favorite thing. You just are, you know, you're not all ego, all about you all the time. And you seem to really, in my opinion anyway, you just really cherish your life and cherish people.
I do, and you know, like everyone else, I have moments where I really get down on myself because it really is geared to one reason, because I'm not working like I would like to be working. And so,
yeah.
In other words, it's like having a racehorse and he's not getting out of the gate fast enough. Or in other words, he's running, he knows he's going to win the race, but the jockey's not giving him his head. He's holding back a little bit. So I think everyone has that. I think everyone has that problem because everyone wants to, you know, stand to be counted. It's like when my brother did Rocky, that's what Rocky's about, a guy that wants a chance to show what he's made about, you know, and that's what it is. Not that if he's going to win the fight or not win the fight, but he's going to be standing at the end, you know, and that's with your character. I mean, there's something really funny about, like, we were talking about friendship and love and all this. There was a famous producer named Harry Cohn who lived out here, and you know, he owned Columbia Studios, and he was a real nasty, horrible guy. And people said, everyone in town wanted to go to the funeral. And they go, well, why do you want to go to a funeral? Everyone hated him. He was horrible to everyone. Said, we just want to make sure he's dead.
Jesus.
And that's the true story. He was so horrible to everybody. They said, oh, my God, it's so nice. Everyone wants to go see Harry's funeral. I said, no, just want to make sure he's dead. So it's one of those things. But isn't that the same thing if you look at It's a Wonderful Life at the end?
Oh,
Friends?
Yeah.
And a movie like that is so precious and great, you realize that movie was a failure when it came out.
Yep.
Wrong.
Yep, absolutely. That's a beautiful movie.
So that's why I'm trying to stay always relevant, you know, always trying to stay relevant. Yeah, is it a tough road at 62 trying to get a nomination for a Grammy again? Yeah, but you know what?
I think you will. I can hear it in your voice. How can we help make that happen for you? Is there anything that we can do as listeners and fans and everything? What do we do? Just buy?
As fans,
buy,
you know,
fans?
You can go to my website and pick up the song and you download it, or you can go to iTunes. Or I think the thing, if people like what I do, I mean, my music is all over cdbaby.com. It's on my website. It's all over there.
Mm-hmm.
And just take a listen and, you know, listen to something different. Or, you know, if there's people out there that they're going, wow, we'd love you to play a concert in our town. I do it all the time.
I mean, that's a lot of times. I would think the kids, like on Nick Jr., would absolutely kill for an appearance by you in that song, and everybody in Expendables too. I would think Nick Jr. would just eat that up. All the kids, because my kids, I have four boys. They're 11, 13, 15, and 17, and they love that song. That song, you know, they know I'm interviewing on the radio and everything like that, but aside from that, when the movie came out, my kids all have that on their iTouch.
They love that song. Thank them. Well, thank them. And you know, and the thing is, you know, a lot of people get very elitist and say, oh, well, Frank would never come to our town. I go, but that's what I do for a living. I mean, I'm a song and dance man. That's what I do. So in other words, what's the difference if someone says, listen, we're holding this great event, we'd like to find about Frank Stallone? That's no different than an agent going out looking for work. It's someone saying, oh, I didn't know Frank would travel here or do this. But that's what we do. I've done gigs like that. And it's actually a lot of fun, because the beautiful thing about it is that the people really want you to come. In other words, it's not like you're having to shove it down their throat. They actually want you to come and see them play.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'd love to see you play in Washington. Oh, that would be great.
Find the venue, kid.
We'll find the venue. Yeah, I think Merrill Auditorium here in Maine would love to have you here.
I mean, I don't always bring the band. A lot of people think my solo show is one of my better shows. You know, I just bring my guitar and do my thing. And it's, listen, when I saw James Taylor first time, he's just by himself. So was Cat Steve, and so was Gary Chapin and stuff like that. And it just depends how you gear your music. You know what I mean? And you gear the audience. But I love doing it. It makes me, I feel alive. You know, I just love singing. I love hanging, talking, you know, just meeting people and stuff like that. But you never know through this new social media that we have what can happen. You know, I mean, we're getting really good reaction from, you know, the website, franksloan.com, and Twitter. You know, Stallone is the number four.
Stallone for real, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, listen, you get some crackpots out there, you know. once in a while. You know, I have a TV series called World's Dumbest that's on True TV every week. Yeah, you know, it gets a little goofy sometimes. You get a little hate mail once in a while, but everyone does.
Yeah.
I mean, God, Pope gets hate mail, so, I mean, I can handle it. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, Twitter's a big one. So if you're listening to the show, you could go to frankstallone.com. You can find him on Facebook at Frank Stallone Official, and you can go to Twitter. He's Stallone4, the number 4, real, on Twitter. And, yeah, we're real. Katie, we're best ever. My Twitter account's about to hit 100,000 people following. So it's just.
Well, yeah, more than one.
Twitter,
wow.
But Twitter is, I mean, Twitter is awesome. To reach out, and you just when you tweet out, you always share your website link or something relevant, and people love.
Well, we did it for you today.
What did you say? Yeah, I saw that you did. Thank you very much.
Where do listeners? How far do you reach out with your listeners?
On Blog Talk Radio here, it just depends, but it's all over the world. I mean, we have people from all over the world joining us, and I don't have an idea right now how many thousands of people are listening live, but I'm sure it's quite a few.
A performer. 30 people are listening. It's good. Okay?
Exactly. But most of our shows, most of our shows download in the 50 to 70,000 range. Yeah, and I must mention this too, we're so always thankful to Blog Talk Radio. They are so good to our show. We've been doing this for 2 years now. And, you know, we started out, it was just me and Katie. We felt like we were talking into space after the first show.
Which is Girl Talk. We were just talking to ourselves sometimes. It's grown.
And now they feature us almost every show we do on the homepage where you are today on Blog Talk Radio. They featured you under Staff Picks. So we're always proud. And, you know, I think one of the things that you, one of your common themes, too, aside from being, you know, changing and growing and things like that, is never, ever giving up. And I know Katie and I were giving a Katie Elizabeth to each other pep talk yesterday because, you know, we're trying to do things so fast, too, and I feel you when you're like, oh, it just can't happen fast enough, or, you know, we just want to be out there doing seminars or bigger radio shows or whatever, and it's frustrating. We had to really take a moment yesterday and just live gratefully for everything that we've been able to do and just slow our pace down a little bit so that we didn't we, Katie?
Oh, we did, and remind ourselves of what we say every day, which is enjoy today. Enjoy today, because it's a gift. Everything's a gift. And you sometimes get really frustrated and down, but you have to remind yourself every day is a gift.
Yeah, and no one's, I don't know, I don't like entitlement very much. What do you think about that, Frank? And just an eye on time, we have 2 minutes left, and
well,
I opened up the entitlement can of worms.
Well, I wrote something like that on my Facebook. The sense of entitlement, that's what I actually put out on my on my Facebook last week, that people that really believe that they are entitled to everything, and they're not. You're entitled to. You have to earn respect, and it's not something. Matter of fact, I have it right here. It's not something that is just given. You know, it's just not. It's something you have to earn it. You know, here it is. I said there are people who think they are entitled to everything in the world. Love, money, and respect has to be earned. It's not free. It is earned. It's a privilege to be alive and healthy to walk on the earth. Look up to the sky.
Isn't that great?
And thank God you are here.
Amen.
Right. Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, you know, listen. I've gone out on dates where girls go, yes, okay, so you're going to treat me like, and I expect, I said, whoa. You definitely got the wrong date, I think. I think that you went to the wrong house. I think you're looking for your bud, that's the date, okay?
Yeah.
Because you have to be nice to people. And I think it all comes back twofold. Listen, I get moody, I get cranky, I get all that stuff, you know? But the thing is, I just want to, you know, for me, I just want to work. I just like keeping busy and happy. And that's when I'm happiest, when I'm doing that. I'm not happy sitting in, you know, I'm not a business guy, per se, so that kind of bores me. But I like the end result, you know what I'm saying? But I don't like really kind of, I just don't have the mindset for it. But I have fun doing it, you know. Yeah. But I love being on radio. I love meeting people. I like talking to you guys. And Elizabeth, I'm so happy you had that Randy was able to get this together. I know we've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, thank you. It's really meaningful to me. I hope you know that. This was a big moment, and not for a career or anything like that, but just to actually meet you and hear your voice and just share you with everybody else, because you're really awesome. And I have 10 seconds left, but what I wanted everybody to know is we're going to cut off live, but we're going to keep going here for a few minutes just to finish up the show properly so we don't – but listen on replay. There we go. We just cut off. But it's going to keep taping here. But, yeah, just to let you know, you're just, for some reason, you're just really important to me in my life. And I don't know why, but, you know, I post frequently, you don't meet people by accident. And I really mean that. I don't think you do.
No, it's all intentional. You know, it's all really good stuff.
Yeah, it is. All right.
It is.
And we're all, we're all blessed to be, doing our thing, and I'm just really happy. I mean, like anything else, I'm happier when I'm working. But yeah.
It'll happen. So. You're like Grammy, Golden Globe, everything that you want, that'll happen. You can feel your energy. That's the one thing. Before we go, that's the other thing too. You have just such great energy about you, Katie. Don't you think he's just a, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Oh yeah, what a spirit.
Yes.
What a spirit, and what a loving spirit, and mm-hmm. what a courageous spirit that just is very inspiring. I think you've been great. It's been wonderful meeting you, Frank.
Thank you for singing.
Well, thank you so much. And I guess we'll be doing the magazine, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's mention that, too. We're going to have Frank on the cover of our magazine. I am so excited to announce that. So Best Ever You magazine. We work really incredibly hard. There's like five of us that try and put together a magazine that goes out across the globe. It's not a staff of 100 or anything like that. It's just us. And so there's a lot of heart and soul that go into putting that magazine together. And you're going to be the cover of it. And we're blessed. That's all. I feel blessed.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to. I just think the world of you. So,
well, God bless you both, and just have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you, and good luck with
thank
everything.
You. You too.
Yeah.
Thank
all right.
You.
So,
bye-bye.
Enjoy today.
Yeah, enjoy today.
Will.
I love that when you say that. Enjoy today. All right.
Okay,
all right, Katie. So we
all
gotta
right.
go. Thank you so much, Frank. Let me wind
thanks,
up here.
Frank.
We're in replay mode. We thank you all for listening to us, and we hope that you'll take a moment and join besteveryou.com if you can. But more important than my own website is Frank's website and his music and everything. So please, if you can, go to frankstallone.com. All of his music is there. I love all the pictures that he posted from his childhood and just everything. He's just isn't he cool, Katie?
He is, and his music has so many different times. There's so much wonderful music to listen to. So no matter what kind of music you like, you'll find something you love.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah, he really is. He's very talented.
Now, here's what I can do. I don't think he's listening anymore, but you know what I can do? See all the pictures? Here they come back. He's hot. He's beautiful. I mean, everybody has to cover theirs, but, the pictures of him are, for everybody, just listen, there's pictures of him with his guitars, his dogs, he's just, and they're not all fake and phony, it's just him. That's what
right.
I say he's beautiful, that's what I mean about him. You can tell when you talk to him that he's not full of crap, he's the real guy, and his pictures show that too. So that's more what I mean, but yeah, he is really, he's a beautiful guy. So, yeah, there.
He is, inside and out.
Inside and out. And that's what's important. He's got a heart, like a heart of gold. That's what I think from talking to him.
Yep.
Don't you think? He's just a pure
oh,
heart.
Oh, totally. And yeah. And in his music, he reflects that in his music, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, leeches, what do you think, Katie? Leeches, worms, bait fish? You gonna,
oh.
Oh, I love it. Come on. The leeches? Those are so fun.
I like to go fishing when someone else does the bait. So you guys could come to Washington and I'll watch.
I'm not kidding. We used to have these, we're in replay mode, so it's okay. But we used to go out on pontoon boats and, you know, never speedboat or anything like that because we were broke, but, you know, like a big pontoon boats that would fit all of us or like little crappy aluminum fishing boats in the middle of Lake Vermilion. And Lake Vermilion is this huge lake. And if you're not really careful on the lake, you can capsize or drown or whatever. But we'd be out there fishing. And my grandma, I'm not kidding, in that aluminum boat, she'd come back with the biggest musky or something, some type of biting fish. My grandma would be holding it up, and she's like 75 or 80, and she'd win everything.
Yep.
It was so hilarious. So anyway, all right. Well, lots of love.
Thanks. You too.
So,
enjoy
honey,
your day.
You're going to work, right?
I'm going to work. Going to go meet with some cancer patients.
All right. Well, I want to remind everybody, thank you again for listening. Please visit besteveryou.com, frankstallone.com, Frank Stallone Official on Facebook, Stallone For Real on Twitter, and then on Thursday, I have a guest. I don't think you're going to be with me, but on Thursday we have Frank McKinney joining us. So that's at 1 p.m. And then next Tuesday we have Michelle Rosenthal joining us as well. So thank you so much for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
enjoy today. Take
Bye.
Care.
Thank you,
Bye.
Frank Stallone.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.